Young John Bidwell reined in his horse and stood in the stirrups of his saddle. In the distance, a lone horseman was riding toward him. "I wonder who he is," John said to himself. As the galloping horse came nearer, John knew that the rider was a stranger. The graceful manner in which the man rode held John's attention. John was a good rider, and he was used to good horses. 2 years ago, when he was 8 years old, his father had given him a fine young horse. Since then, John had spent many happy hours racing his horse along the country roads near the Bidwell farm in Pennsylvania. Now, watching the approaching stranger, he said to himself, "He rides like an Indian." "But," he added, "he can't be an Indian. There aren't any Indians around here anymore." "Hello there," the man called. He waved a big, broad-brimmed hat and waved again and called again, "Hello." In reply, John waved his coonskin cap with its long, bushy tail. As the stranger reined in his horse, he said, "I'm looking for Abram Bidwell's farm. Can you tell me where it is?" "Yes, I can. I'm his son, John. I'll take you to our farm." "Well, well," the man laughed, "I thought you were Daniel Boone. I'm Indian Joe." "Indian Joe?" exclaimed John. He stared at the buckskin-clad man. "Are you a friend of my father?" "Yes, we were boys together," the man answered. There was a merry twinkle in his eyes. "I hate to disappoint you," he added, "but my real name's not Indian Joe. My real name's Joe Williams." "Oh, my father's told me about you. You're a fur trapper and you live in the West." The man nodded. "Tell me about the West. Do you know many Indians? Have you been in any Indian fights?" "I can only answer one question at a time," Joe Williams smiled. "Come on, we'll talk as we ride to your farm." Touching their horses, they started down the road. John listened eagerly to the trapper's thrilling stories of the West. His eyes were wide with excitement as he took in every word of Indian fights, trapping beaver and buffalo hunts. "The West is a wonderful country," Joe Williams was saying. "I've seen most of it. I have Tom Fitzpatrick to thank for that. Once in an Indian fight, he saved my life." A city of noisy, newly rich miners in from the diggings. A city of newly arrived gold seekers. A city of tents and shanties and muddy streets. A city of excitement and confusion. It was the miners' city. "I can hardly believe my own eyes," John said, as he and Sutter walked down a crowded street. "All these houses, hotels, stores, shops, and this wild, unruly mob of thousands of men." The two friends stopped now and then to look into the stores and shops. The goods were expensive and most of them not well made. But everything the miners needed could be found in the shops along the way. There were many stores where only mining tools were sold. Clerks in other stores were busy selling the familiar red and blue flannel shirts, the sturdy high boots, broad-brimmed hats, and other articles of rough mining clothes to eager buyers. At a corner, John and Sutter said goodbye to each other, promising to meet later in the day. Sutter went across the street to the office of a business friend. John stepped aside to let a laughing group of red-shirted miners pass. One of the men turned and looked back. The man was the homesick miner who had worked at Bidwell's bar. He said something to his companions, then he walked back to John. As John and the miner shook hands, John said, "I can see you've had mail from home." "Yes, and the letter saved my life," the man grinned. "Another ship has just come in with more mail. We're on our way to the post office now." "But it'll be hours before the mail's brought ashore. Why don't you wait?" asked John. "See that crowd?" The miner pointed down the street. In front of a small frame building, hundreds of men were forming into long lines. "They know the mail ship's in, too." "Do you mean they're going to wait in line till they get their mail?" "Sure, we always do." "Well, let's not stand here talking." John and the miner hurried to the post office. The miner looked about for his companions, but could not find them in the noisy crowd. "Do you get your mail here, too?" he asked, as he and John took their places at the end of a line. "No, I go down to Sutter's Fort to get mine." The miner shook his head. "We're so far from home, and it takes so long to get our letters. That's the hardest part of this life, isn't it?" John nodded. "I remember when I first came out here. It took almost a year to let my parents know where I was. Almost another year passed before I heard from them. I'll never forget how happy I was to get their letters." While they were talking, John watched the crowd. The lines were rapidly growing longer and longer. The men shouted and laughed, and excitement ran high.